Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, from the Passion House, and so glad that you're back. I loved our Beautiful Beaches podcast, but it's been a while since that time that we were together, so it's good to be back with you today. And if you were thinking, what in the world has happened to the music? Well, a little bit of a treat for you today, a little deviation from our normal David Crowder Band roll-in music intro. We have music from the brand new CD from my friend Matt Redman, which came out yesterday, that I'm so excited about. And that was a little bit of the track The More We See from the new album We Shall Not Be Shaken. And we are just thrilled. I know we had Matt on a couple of podcasts back talking about the CD, but it's out now and the songs are already making their way to people around the world. And I could not be more excited to be behind a collection of songs like these songs and to see them begin to make their way to people's lives. And we'll talk about that a little bit as the podcast goes on today. But, you know, the whole idea of this, in fact, iTunes, and in fact, everybody, there's a little glitch in the system, which happens a lot these days in the record world. But a little glitch in the system yesterday, and the record came out under the title This Is How We Know, which was the single that we released actually to iTunes a couple of months ago. And it didn't get changed in the system somehow, so everywhere at iTunes and anywhere else the CD went out yesterday, the title was This Is How We Know, and the album cover was the cover from the single. But the album is officially called, I'd like to say, We Shall Not Be Shaken. I tweeted last night, which we'll get around to that a little bit later in the podcast as well, that we had been to dinner with the Redmans, which we had, celebrating Matt's release, and they had friends in from England, and a couple of us went out, Shelley, myself, and three other couples, and just celebrated Matt's release and celebrated what God has done. And I tweeted about it when I got home, and I said, hey, we just had a great dinner with some friends celebrating my friend Matt Redman's new release today, We Shall Not Be Shaken. And I got a reply back not too long after that from someone saying, hey, I got the CD today. It's actually called This Is How We Know, but whatever. And so, yeah, I kind of was like, I kind of do know what it's called. I didn't really want to, you know, tweet back at that point, but I was like, I do know the title of the CD. Thank you very much. And it is called We Shall Not Be Shaken. It's got a very cool artsy cover, by the way, if you haven't seen it, which I totally dig. But all these songs are coming out of, you know, the turmoil that our whole world's been through in the last 6 to 8 months. And now, supposedly, we're creeping our way out of this, you know, global meltdown. And I think people, if I know humanity, are very quickly going to say, wow, you know, things aren't as bad as they said they were going to be, and, you know, economy's heading up, and this, that, and the other. And I think pretty soon we'll be right back into our normal groove thinking, yeah, life's going on. But there were days, and I don't know if I'd ever felt too many of them like it in my lifetime, where there really was this possible thought that the world as we know it is going to screech to a halt. And out of that moment, and out of other moments of trials and difficulties, came these songs of hope and faith that, you know what, everything around us is going to change, but there is something firm underneath us, and that is the foundation that our lives are built on. And if anybody builds their life on that firm, solid rock, even when winds come, and even when the storms blow, and they will, and even when the waves crash over us, the house will not be destroyed. And so that's what this album's all about, and I'm so excited about it. Our title, if you noticed it while you were downloading the podcast, The Wolf Pack is Back. And all that means is we're saying welcome back to university students in America, particularly. And I know school schedules are different. We learned that on the world tour all over the world. But if you're somewhere in the world and you are just getting back into term or whatever you call your semester or quarter, wherever you are, then welcome back. But most everybody in America is back on campus. Students have rolled back into the dorms, apartments, condos. Rush is over or in the middle or happening. People have moved in. Freshmen are there. Parents have cried. People have hugged. Tears have been shed. Many trips to Walmart and Target have been made. And now the semester is on. And so we just want to give a little shout out to the university campuses of the nation on this podcast. By the way, this is all about school mascots today. In fact, there's some really good things coming today. We're going to talk about Twitter, and I started it here, so I got to end it here and make my peace with the Twittering world. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and I do want to talk about especially the redeeming value of Tozer Tuesdays. We're going to talk a little bit about how to make sure that you're adjusting right into this new semester and just a couple of things. I'm no expert on anything, but I'm just going to give you six simple things that if you put these things in front of you, I believe it really will make a massive, massive difference in what the outcome of your semester is, wherever you are. So if you're not a university student, it's pretty interesting. These things apply to a bunch of us, no matter where we are in life. But if you are a university student, college student, you're going to love this, and I hope that you'll write it down. We're going to hear a couple of clips from Matt's new CD. For those of you who haven't gotten a hold of it yet, I hope you will. You can just jump over to iTunes right now and get the download going while you're listening to the podcast and multitask. That's what it's all about. But we're also going to talk a little bit about mascots. And I don't know why Wolfpack just jumped into my head, but I thought, okay, we're going to do a back-to-school podcast. It's all about, you know, the campus coming back to life. And there's nothing like that moment, really. And those of us who are way beyond the college years, and even those who are just out of college, you still remember the adrenaline rush of those first few days, because, you know, the class schedule hasn't bogged you down yet. It's just a kind of that, it's just an interesting feeling of life. Everything's brand new all over again, and it's a pretty cool time of life. And so we thought we're going to do this back to school thing. And I just thought, okay, we're going to call it The Wolf Pack is Back. And I don't know where that popped in my head. But, you know, there are two schools with the Wolfpack mascot, and I'm going to give you a couple quizzes today on mascots. In fact, if you want to just kill some time sometime, go over to Wikipedia, just click on University Mascots, and you'll really enjoy what you find over there. I did anyway. But there are two Wolfpacks. I already knew that from my great travels around the universities of America. There is, of course, the Wolfpack in North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, at North Carolina State University. And they are the Wolfpack, I think all one word, Wolfpack. But there's another Wolfpack, and that is at the University of Nevada. And they are the Wolfpack Wolf Space Pack. So to the two Wolfpacks and everybody else that's back, welcome back to school. And by the way, it is Nevada. I grew up my whole life thinking it was Las Vegas, Nevada, and I finally went to Nevada, and when I went to Nevada for the first time and spoke and said, I'm so happy to be in Nevada, I actually got feedback from the audience saying, you're not in Nevada, you're in Nevada. So I tried to really learn, and now it's just my small part to educate the rest of us in the world that those fine people that live out there live in the state of Nevada. And they have a wolf pack out there. There is, check these out. These are a couple of interesting ones I found. And I know this is not actually technically in North America. In fact, it's not in any way, shape, or form in North America. But Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, we had students from there come to Passion Vancouver. They are the Klan. That's kind of scary if you're from around here where I am, but it's kind of an interesting mascot nonetheless. Thinking about my indescribable thing, I found some comets out there. I didn't know there were any comets. I've never heard of anybody say, you know, go comets or here comes the comet. Comets only come around infrequently, like some of them like every 17, 27, 47, or 90 years. So I'm not sure the comet was maybe the best mascot. It's like, watch out for us. We're coming around again in 37 years. But anyway, that's beside the point. Mayville State. I cannot believe I got that wrong. All of you students at Mayville State, would somebody please, if you're any of these, like this particular school, could you just shoot us an email to the Passion website, or you can Twitter it to me at Louis Giglio, a lot simpler. But could you just let us know if anybody is listening to the podcast at Mayville State University? That's in North Dakota, if I've got it right, in the Mayville State Comets. I would just be phenomenal. We don't have a lot of Passion attenders from North Dakota. In fact, I don't think anybody's registered from Passion 2010. From North Dakota yet, but the comets from Mayville State, from Olivet, and there's a bunch of those around. This particular one, I think, is in Michigan. And then check this out, the Pillsbury Baptist University in Minnesota. You're like, where are you making up the names of these schools? No, for real. Pillsbury Baptist University, that's a sweatshirt, a t-shirt I want one of right there. They're the comets, and then UT Dallas also. So we got four comets floating around out there in the world, and a few more of those to come as we move through the podcast. Two trivia questions for you. I know we don't normally do trivia on the Passion Podcast, but I'm up here by myself. I have no supervision. I have no Jonathan, no Brad. Nobody's here to look at me and go, you're crazy. Don't do that. So two trivia questions, and this is one of my favorite ones. Of university mascots. There are a handful of singular mascots. So most of them are, like, I'll just tell you some of the C's because they're right in front of me. The Chippewas of Central Michigan University, the Choctaws of Mississippi College, the Claim Jumpers of Columbia College in California, the Classics of Cedar Crest, the Clippers of Concordia, the Cobbers of Concordia, different Concordia, the Cobras of Coker. I don't even, never even heard of that school before. And Virginia Intermont, two schools I've never heard of are the Cobras. And then the Colonials. And all the commonality of all these is that they're all plural. And but there's some singular mascots out there. I just want you to think about how many of those that you can name. And then I'm going to ask you a second trivia question. This is for the grand prize. What mascot is common to the greatest number of universities? And I'm going to give you the top four, and you get to rank them in your own order, one through four. What do you think they are, by the way? Just think about it. I'll give you 10 seconds while you're killing time. What do you think are the top mascots in terms of numbers of universities which claim that mascot? It's not the Little Giants, by the way. I think Wabash College are the only Little Giants. It's not the Leathernecks. I think Western Illinois are the only ones of those. The Lafayette Leopards, only one of those. The Stephen F. Austin Lady Jacks. So the Vanderbilt Commodores, only one of those. But a bunch of schools go by the same mascot. Top four, here they are. Are you ready? You got them? I think you knew what they were already. And so you get to pick them in random order. Which one has the most? And the top four are the Cougars, interestingly enough, the Wildcats, the Lions, and the Tigers. So do you see a little thing going on there? We got the feline family of mascots up at the top four. The Cougars, the Wildcats, the Lions, and the Tigers. And I'll tell you a little bit later on, because I know you're just dying to know this kind of stuff, which one is the best. But I just want to say we're going to break away here and hear a little Matt Redman. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the campus. Welcome back to a moment in time. And that's really what the podcast is about today. This semester, this term, is a moment in time. And it really can be something special. And I believe that God has a purpose for your life in it. It's not just the next thing on the calendar. You didn't just become a sophomore. It's not just your junior year. It's not just the next thing that was, you know, in your academic path. This is God's time for you. This is God's moment. And he has his eye on you, and he has purposes for your life right now and for your campus right now. And that's pretty cool to think about. Little Matt Redman, as we go to a break, and we'll come back in just a couple of minutes. This is You Alone Can Rescue, which if you've been to Passion, you know Passion Atlanta. I know it was around by then, Passion City Church, and a few of the Passion World Tour stops where Matt was around the globe. But incredible song, just talking about, you know, the power of God to grab hold of us and bring us out of darkness into the light. And so here's a little of You Alone Can Rescue from the new album called We Shall Not Be Shaken, official title from Matt Redman. And I'll be back with you with some more university mascots, with my big, huge Twitter apology, and with some, you know, just a couple of practical things for a university student to help you make this semester what God wants it to be and what I know you want it to be. So check out Matt's new CD and the song You Alone Can Rescue. I'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. You alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us. Welcome back. I love that. Man, that's so incredible. We lift up our eyes to the giver of life. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today, because he is there right where you are right now. Section 209, it's happening, you know, right now. and you are not alone. God is with you. So singular mascots, back to campus mascots, or just a couple throw out there since we're, I guess we're categorized in the spiritual and religious podcast is where we landed, iTunes, which I guess makes total sense. But Christianity and religion, or spirituality and religion, and then maybe subcategory Christianity, then maybe subcategory Louis podcast. But here's a few for our category from Siena University, the Saints, Wake Forest. I love this one. Must be a good Baptist heritage. The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. They've got the Providence Friars, the Lincoln Christian Preachers. Okay, that's what it says. Lincoln Christian University, they are the preachers. Washburn University, the men, interestingly enough, have taken on the name Ichabods. The Ichabods, that's just not a good mascot. That means the glory of God has departed from his people. So it's like, here we come, the glory of God has departed from us, you should be afraid. Centenary, which is an interesting one, that's C-E-N-T-E-N-A-R-Y, Centenary. It's kind of a hard university to say, I guess not if you go there, but for those of us who don't. The men are the gentlemen, and the women's teams are the ladies. So the Centenary Ladies and Gentlemen, that's one I've never heard of before somehow. One of my personal favorites, the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks, and that's in Flagstaff, Arizona, which, you know, you think Arizona hot, desert, dry, Phoenix, a little bit cooler in Tucson, but man, just take the drive up to Flagstaff, Arizona, and you will go into a completely different world. It is absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, snow, cold, big, huge fir trees everywhere. Incredible. We did a passion event there a while back, and I loved it. It was on the campus of Northern Arizona University. Their mascot, they are the Lumberjacks, but more importantly, at least to me, not to anyone else, their mascot is Louis the Lumberjack. And if you go to the campus, which I hope everybody will make a pilgrimage out there and make a road trip out to Northern Arizona University, if you're on the way to the Grand Canyon, just make a little detour and go to Flagstaff. And they've got about, I don't want to exaggerate here, but I'm going to say they have a 25-foot tall, could be shorter, could be taller, Louis the Lumberjack, huge dude, plaid shirt, just exactly like you think, axe over the shoulder, or maybe axe on the ground, and he's leaning on the axe, and that's Louis the Lumberjack. I loved it. And then we've got some purple people out there. There were the Purple Aces of Evansville University, the Purple Eagles of Niagara, and the Purple Raiders of Mount Union. And Mount Union's one of those schools that always dominates in like a lower division football, if I'm not mistaken. Not like Division One, but one of those smaller divisions. They're like, they rule down there. And I think the Paladins of Furman used to be called the Purple Paladins, but maybe I made that up. But anyway, they're in there as well. And then one of my last two favorites, the Thundering Herd of Marshall University. Now that, my friends, is a mascot. That's the Comets coming around in 47 years, or here comes the Thundering Herd. That's pretty cool, and that's one of our singular ones. And then the Zips of Akron. And I think Akron had one of those mascots that they had to, for PC reasons, get rid of. So they became the Zips. Yeah, a few of the singular ones I'll give you a little bit later, but welcome back wherever you are. Anybody on any of those campuses listening, anybody in Siena or Wake Forest, anybody at Lincoln Christian, any of the preachers up there, give us a shout back. Any of the Lumberjacks, the Paladins, or the Purple Raiders, anybody out there, let us know. We're just picking a few schools that are not Auburn and the University of Georgia and the University of Tennessee and Kennesaw. Well, speaking of Kennesaw State up here, which is a big up-and-comer in the state of Georgia, if not already becoming the largest university in Georgia, and I might say a school that I attended briefly during the summer semester that I was kicked out of Georgia State University. I went to Kennesaw and actually flunked out of there as well, so I don't know what that makes me, but I feel some allegiance to the Owls of Kennesaw State University. The Owls shared by, and I only mention that because I've been listening to this Owl City CD a bunch lately, so I kind of, my eye was drawn to the Owls. The Owls of Florida Atlantic, Kennesaw State, Temple University, Rice University, Warren Wilson, Westfield State, and Keene State College. So who to the Owls. It's awesome to have you guys with us. Okay, so here's the deal. I came on the podcast on February 12th. I think the podcast, if you look on iTunes, is called Twitter? I made some terrible remarks, some awful, I said awful things about Twitter and Twitterers and the whole social networking phenomenon. And I said things I'm ashamed of and embarrassed by, and that I wish, you know, there are a lot of things in life you regret, and if I could go back and do it all over again, I certainly would go back and definitely, you know, rethink that whole podcast. And over time, March, April, May, I ran into some people. My eyes were opened. I was enlightened. I saw the light. I really did get it, and I came to understand that Twitter is really, really a good thing. And that's the short of it, folks. And I have joined the Twittering world. And some of you may or may not know that. Some of you are maybe anti-Twitterers and you don't care and you don't know. But I'm Twittering now. And I had a big press conference to say I'm sorry to everyone for the things that I had said, which I think you can still click on my Twitter link, which is, I don't know how you find that, actually. I think it's twitter.com, maybe / Louis Giglio. But I'm at Louis Giglio. And I'm on Twitter. I've joined our whole team. You know, Crowder's on there with his massive following. And Charlie Hall is there. And Chris Tomlin is there. Passion is there. Passion 268. Six Steps Records is on Twitter if you want to follow them there. Christian Stanfield. You can even follow Christy. Matt Redman. I don't know who I've left out. But we're all on Twitter right now. And I'm just getting into it, just figuring it out. And so if I said anything to offend anybody out there about Twitter, I just want to sincerely apologize, and I wish you could see my face right now. I'm so contrite, and I really pledged to do something good with my Twitter. I know, you know, I don't have that much interesting going on in my life that anybody really cares about, but on the other hand, I didn't want it to be like all, you know, like 1,000%, you know, spiritual heavy duty all the time, you know, can't have fun in life. That was sort of the point of the press conference that I did, was to make fun of myself, and some people, I think most people got it. Only one person called me a curse word that I saw as a response to the press conference, but I think everybody else kind of got the idea. I was just trying to make fun of myself and try to be lighthearted, because you know what? Life isn't serious all the time. It isn't for people like me anyway, and I don't think it needs to be serious all the time. And if we can't stop and laugh at ourselves and laugh at each other every now and then, you know, something's gone terribly wrong. So all that to say, I'm happy to be a Twitterer. I've tweeted maybe about 8 to 9 tweets so far, and they're out there for your enjoyment. I'd love it if you'd come and follow me. That sounds like maybe that's the reason I didn't get on Twitter right there, because I didn't think I could ever say, hey, come and follow me. So let me just try to say that a different way. Follow my Twitter at Louis Giglio, and if you like it, stay with me. If you don't like it, then absolutely you can drop me in a heartbeat and follow somebody that will bring much joy to your life. But I would, now that I'm into it, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's really going to be fun. So anyway, thanks for that. And Tuesday quotes from A.W. Tozer. That's what it's all about. And the one this week absolutely floored me. And so if you're not on Twitter and you missed the Twitter quote from Tozer Tuesday, here it was. Are you ready for this? It's just a question. Did you ever stop to think that God is going to be as pleased to have you with him in heaven as you are to be there? That's a mouthful. I'm going to rewind it, say it one more time so you don't have to. Did you ever stop to think that God is going to be as pleased to have you with him in heaven as you are to be there? And I mean, it just floored me. The simplicity of it absolutely just floored me, because I think we always think, you know, I'm going to heaven and I'm excited about being in heaven and, beats the alternatives, and I want to be in heaven and I want to be with Jesus. But hey, I didn't create Jesus. Jesus created me. Jesus wasn't my idea. I was Jesus' idea. And I didn't design him and craft and form him. He designed me and craft and formed me. I didn't make Jesus in my image with the express purpose that he would draw his very life from my smile and be intimately connected with me all the days of his life. Jesus is the one who designed and crafted my life in his image. And he is the one who put in me great purpose, that of knowing him and loving him and seeing him and being in love with him and sharing an intimate daily relationship with him all the days of my life. He did that. He's the initiator of me, and he's the initiator of you. And when you get to heaven and you think the moment's going to be, I'm so glad I got here, you have no idea how glad he's going to be that you were there, because he's the one who thought you up in the first place. And he's the one who dreamed that he would always get to spend eternity with you. So thank you, A.W. Tozer, for speaking into our lives as though you were with us, even though you've been gone for a very long time. And watch the Twitter on Tuesdays for Tuesday Tozer Tuesday quotes. That's a mouthful. We've got two of them going so far. I got a great one coming already for next Tuesday that I'm excited about. But it's going to be fun. Here comes a little more Matt Redman. I'll be back with you guys just a few minutes with some, I think, practical ways that you can make the semester work. And if you're not a university student, I got a feeling that a couple of these will work for you anyway, wherever you are. So this is Through It All from Matt Redman from the new CD, We Shall Not Be Shaken. I'll be back with you in just a second. A great confession to put our hope in today. Thank you, Matt Redman. And you know what? People say, I don't like listening to podcasts, or people try to sell me something. Well, I'm not trying to sell you something by talking about Matt Redman's CD. I don't make a penny if you go and buy Matt Redman's CD. You're like, well, you were part of Six Steps Records and you're part of the label and this, that, and the other. Well, check it out. Our label is nonprofit, and so our portion of our partnership with EMI is completely nonprofit. All the money goes to help us do things like the world tour, like passion events. We support other ministries that we don't talk a lot about across this nation and around the world. And Passion City Church, I mean, you name it. Anything we're doing is a beneficiary of the nonprofit of Six Steps Records. And so do I want you to buy a CD and not actually borrow one permanently from someone else? Absolutely, because it's the right thing to do, and it honors Matt, and it honors God, and it allows us to continue to make great music, and it allows us to do a lot of other cool things in ministry for Jesus. Do I want you to go buy Matt's CD so that I'll get something out of it? No. So if you don't like people selling you things, I'm not selling you something. I'm just telling you the stuff we do here, we believe in. We don't just come to work in the morning and go, okay, let's make some records and see if we can, you know, make a record company go. But we come alongside of a guy like Matt Redman, who, for my money, is probably the most well-balanced theologian, poet, worship songwriter of the last 15 years in this nation and in the world, and has influenced a whole new wave of worship leaders, which I am one of. And he is a gifted, anointed, humble servant of God. And to be in partnership with him, to be able to come alongside of him and start from the very first day, the very first songs. And I think we probably maybe went through 50 songs for this album of Matt trying ideas, working through songs, not getting it right, trying something else. And to be able to walk through that process and come out the backside and to have a collection of songs that you believe in with everything inside of you, all you can do is say, go get this record and live in these songs and let these songs live inside of you. This is not for me. This is for you that I'm talking about Matt Redman today. And I'm going to do the same thing when David Crowder's new CD, Church Music, comes out in a couple of weeks. And that's because it's our life. And I appreciate you giving me the ability to do that. And I know no one's ever shot back at me on that whole thing, but I was reading something the other day about a guy talking about Twitter, and he said, reasons I'll drop people I'm following on Twitter, and one of them was, if somebody tries to sell me something, I'll drop them. I'll stop following them. And I thought, I can kind of get that. And then I started talking about Matt's album, and I thought, am I trying to sell somebody something? And it's like, no, I'm not really. But I do want you to get it, because I believe that it's going to be something that's going to have a positive impact on your life right where you are. And I don't want you to miss out on that. So I called We Shall Not Be Shaken. And you can simply get it at iTunes. You can find it wherever music's sold. Get a hold of it. Enjoy it. Tell people about it. Help us, our little label, honestly, help us tell the world about these songs if you believe in them. We'd really love that. And I know Matt would appreciate it as well. So I didn't even plan on saying all that. Sorry. Let me step down now off of my little box and get back into my chair and calm myself down. Back to our Welcome Back to School podcast. And singular mascots. Did anybody write a few down? Here's a couple for you. Are you ready? The Crimson Tide from our dear friends over at the University of Alabama. The Syracuse Orange. The North Texas State Mean Green. The Harvard Crimson. The Central College Dutch. They're not really, nobody really knows much about them, but I thought, okay, I'm going to mention them. They're singular. Any Central College people out there, please give us a shout back. We'd love to hear from you. I'm not going to hear from anybody. I guarantee you there's nobody from the Comets going to be emailing us from North Dakota, from Mayville State. We're not hearing from anybody from Centenary. I don't have high hopes. The Sailfish of Palm Beach Atlantic might hear from them. But here's a few of the singular ones. Okay, we talked about the Crimson from Harvard. The Golden Hurricane at the University of Tulsa, or Tulsa University, oops, should know that, sorry. The Tulane Green Wave, and then last but not least, the Stanford Cardinal, which is kind of weird because, you know, I grew up in Georgia, and Stanford's all the way out in Palo Alto, California, and which is the south part of the Bay Area of California, and I didn't, you know much about the West Coast. I'm like, okay, it's out in California. But then I kind of got, you know, on board with campus ministry. I'd been out to speak at Stanford a few times and out to speak in Palo Alto many times in the Bay Area. So now I'm kind of getting tuned into what's going on in the world. And I thought Stanford Cardinal, and I always thought it was this bird, of course, you know. And come to find out, that's not really all that powerful of a mascot, this one little lone cardinal. What's he going to do? Especially to the Lions, the Cougars, the Wildcats, and the Tigers, you know? And so, I mean, there are some cardinals. I think of the Louisville Cardinals. But, I mean, you have to have a lot of cardinals, friends, to take down a lion. But if you have enough cardinals, you could probably do it. But especially if it were a Nittany Lion. But nonetheless, the cardinal is a tree. Thank you very much. And it took me a long time to figure that out. I was probably the last one to know that. But the Stanford Cardinal people, they are a tree. Their mascot is a tree. Yes, that is a kind of tree. And so that's a pretty good mascot because, you know, I mean, a lion is not going to take down a tree. Cougar is going to maybe climb up a tree, but he's not going to take down a tree. So that's a good mascot and one of the singular ones as well. And oh, by the way, the feline competition, I'll give them to you in reverse order. I don't know how you picked them. Number four. With 13 schools weighing in, some of which are the College of New Jersey, Columbia, Eastern Mennonite, Eastern Nazarene, Lincoln University, Linwood University, Loyola Marymount, Multnomah University, North Alabama, Piedmont College, Southeastern Louisiana, Southwestern Assemblies of God. Oh, I know where that is. That's when you drive between Fort Worth and Waco, Texas. You pass that place. Cool. And Vanguard University of Southern California. And I think there's somewhere in Orange County area, I want to say, but I'm not sure. Seems like I saw their rowing crew somewhere out. Anyway, they're the Lions. Number four with 13 schools weighing in the Lions. Coming in second place with 18 schools. And I won't list all of those. You know who you are. BYU being one of the powerhouses of them are the Cougars. And coming in second place with 20 mentions are the Wildcats. And coming in number one, that leaves the Tigers with 30 schools mentioned. The number one on the list, starting with the A's, I didn't plan it this way, people, Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. So followed quickly by Clemson, Colorado College, DePauw, Duane, I don't even know that school right there. East Central in Ada, Oklahoma, East Texas Baptist, Georgetown, Grambling State, Fort Hays State, Hamden, Sydney, Jackson State, LSU, boo, only kidding. Memphis Tigers, Missouri Tigers, the Occidental Tigers, the Olivet from Illinois Tigers, the Pacific Tigers, Princeton Tigers, Riverside Community College Tigers, Rochester Institute of Technology Tigers, the St. Paul's Tigers, Salem International, Savannah State, Suwannee, Tennessee State, Towson, Trinity, West Alabama, and the Wittenberg Tigers, number one mascot in these great United States of ours with 30 schools represented. Congratulations, everybody. So no matter where you are and what mascot you're following, just a couple of practical things for you as you head into a new semester. And I just want to encourage you, you know, Passion is all about university students. It's all about you. It's really all about God and God's fame, but it's all about God's fame in you and in your generation. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, to see this semester, this new term, as a moment that God's given you and a moment in your life to make the most of and to believe that God has great things for you and he wants to do great things through you this semester to impact your world and the people that are around you. So a couple of quick things. There's six of them, I guess, in honor of Six Steps Records. It didn't really work out that way, but that's the way it turned out. And I'll try to give them to you quickly, okay? And the first one is this. My encouragement to you starting a new semester is do not make the mistake of separating the academic from the spiritual. You know, the truth of the matter is, in the kingdom and economy of God, everything God puts before us is spiritual. So it's not about, well, Tuesday night I was with my little campus group and, you know, on Wednesday night I was in the library working on a project. And those are two completely different things. They're really not two completely different things. The scripture says, do your work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. What the Bible is saying to me is, hey, whatever you put your hands to, don't think about doing that for a person. So you're not doing this for a professor or a grad assistant or because it's one of the classes that you've got to get through to get down the road in your degree program. It says, whatever you're doing, do it as if you were doing it for God. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of the classes that I took in college didn't matter. I don't remember them. I don't know where the textbooks are. I haven't used them. They have not become a part of my everyday experience as far as I know. Maybe subconsciously or subliminally they're down underneath there somewhere factoring in. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that you have to be in that class for whatever reason. You are in that class. You've got to be in there. You've got to be a part of it. You've got a syllabus in front of you staring you down right now. And if you see that simply as academic and you separate that from your relationship with God, you are going to have a long semester. Or if you're a brainiac, you're going to have a misguided semester because you're going to think that academic thing is all about you and it's really all about God. And I just want to encourage you in that. You're going to be in class more than you're in the Word. You're going to be in the library more than you're with the campus ministry group at your church. That's just what the academic world is about and what it should be about. And so I just want to encourage you, and I know this sounds a little parental, but you're one of the small majority of people in the world who have the chance to be educated and to improve your intellect and your gifts and your abilities and your opportunities. And so don't walk into the class and say, I hate this class. I don't know why I'm taking this class. I don't like this professor. I wish I didn't have to be up at this time of day. That's not honoring to God, and it's not going to help you down the road to be everything God wants you to be this semester. Why not walk in and say, God, I don't really love this class, and you know that, but I'm here. And so I'm going to take this on as an opportunity to worship you. I'm going to do what you said to do in Scripture, that in whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do this class for you. I'm going to do this work for you. I'm going to work at it as if I was working for you. And I promise you one thing, that may not get you an A in every class, but it is going to change your attitude completely. It's going to change your experience completely. And it's going to allow you at the end of the day to go, I worship today. Not just by, you know, singing some worship songs or going and doing a deed of service somewhere in town, but I worship today doing that economics project, or I worship today in the art, building, working on that 3D thing I was working on all day long. That was my worship to God because I didn't see it simply as academic, but I saw it is one thing. It's me, a spiritual son, daughter of God, living my life not for men, not for teachers, not for professors, not for grades, not for a GPA, not for a degree or a diploma. I'm living my life for God. And today that means I'm going to school for God. And I'm telling you, that, friends, will change your world. Second thing I want to encourage you in quickly is to find a place of ministry and to plant yourself. Don't be one of those students that putters around, that never settles, and that uses the excuse, well, I can't find anywhere like my church back home. I can't find anybody as good as my pastor back home. You know, everybody's online now, so I can just dial up whatever preacher I want online, and I can get fed there. Hey, the spiritual journey we're on is not about a viral community online. And I'm not knocking you listen to this podcast or anybody else's podcast. I'm just telling you, that's not the church that God has envisioned today, okay? It's people living in community together. And don't use an excuse like that to not find a place and plant there. Don't be one of those people that flies around to every ministry. Drives me crazy. When I was in campus ministry, it drove me crazy. Students at the BSU on one night, the Wesley Foundation on another night. They're at the campus outreach cookout on the weekend, and all they do is hang around with Christians and go from one Christian ministry to the next Christian ministry, and they never make a mark on the campus for Christ. Don't be one of those people. Oh, I encourage you to go to some other ministry, because don't be the other extreme either. Don't join up with your thing. I'm part of RUF, and I am never going to another campus ministry gathering at all, because we're RUF and they're this or those people are that. And I just pulled RUF out of a hat. Maybe you're, you know, who knows what you are? You're campus outreach, or you're the these guys, or the InterVarsity, or Campus Crusade, or whatever you are. Hey, why don't you just one time go with your roommate to whatever they go to, if they go to something spiritual, and just show up and say, hey, no, I don't go to Campus Crusade for Christ. I just wanted to come one night. And wow, it's cool to see a room full of people that love Jesus and want to make him famous on this campus. That fired me up tonight. I just need to see that, because I'm a part of a kingdom which is way bigger than the label that I wear. But I want to encourage you to find a church and root your life and plant your life there. I know everybody tells you that when you go to college. That's like the biggest cliche in the world, Louie. Find a local church and plant yourself there and give it a shot. Well, that's Jesus talking right there. That's not me. And I want to encourage you to find a place you can call home and that you can serve. You can give yourself away there. And hey, it doesn't have to be permanent. If it doesn't work out by the end of the semester and at Christmas you hate it, then go find another place and root yourself for another semester. But don't just fly around and be non-committed, because that's not the heart of the local church that Jesus is building. And the third thing I want to encourage you to do is to avoid the attack of loneliness. And I know a lot of you, this is not going to relate to you, because your social agenda is off the charts and all you can think about when you wake up is, how can I squeeze in everything I got to do today? But there's somebody listening to this podcast and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're listening to it alone. You study alone. You sit in the cafeteria alone. You don't have that network. You don't have people beating your door down. You don't have people calling you every 5 minutes going, hey, let's go hang out. Let's go do this. Friday night, you spent in the apartment alone. And home was too far to get to this weekend. And all of a sudden, there you were. And it's like, I hate this. And I hate being here. And I hate being alone. And I think one of the reasons for that in our culture is because aloneness is a value judgment on who we are. But I just want to encourage you to stand against that in your heart and to not let loneliness be a referendum on your self-worth, because it is not. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ loves you. Yep, I said it. I'm going to say it again. He loves you. You just go download Crowder Single and you listen to that over and over and over again. It is absolutely every word of it true. He loves you and has pursued you. And he is with you right now. And you might not have any other humans in the room, but you are not by yourself. Open your eyes and see Jesus looking right back at you. And know that you are not alone. Maybe you're alone because, you know, it's just you're far away and you just don't know people yet. Maybe you're alone because of your choices of who you want to be in life. But just remember that Christ is there, and his presence there. His presence there is the statement about how valuable you are. Because Jesus has chosen, he has chosen to come and to hang out and to be a part of what you're doing right in that moment. I know people tell you this, but I promise you there is someone on your campus that's lonelier than you. Right? It could be a student from Malawi who is in a foreign world by themselves. Look for them and go to them and invite them to something. Invite them to go get a milkshake. Invite them to go out for a Starbucks. Invite them to go to the football game with you. And you say, well, I don't like them. I don't want to hang around with them. I'd rather be alone than go hang around with them. Well, you know, I think it's part of the kingdom, isn't it, to embrace the people around us, and that might be the solution for you. But whatever happens, don't let that be the statement about your worth, and don't believe that lie the enemy's trying to say to you. Nobody loves you. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares about you. Your life's not important. And let that ruin your whole semester experience. But embrace the fact that you're loved by God. You're a daughter, a son of the King of Kings, and He is there with you right now. And He's the one who's empowering you to look around and go, okay, who's lonelier than me? Who doesn't have the King of Kings hanging out with them today? And how can the two of us, me and the King of Kings, go and hang out with them and bring some life into their world as well? Number four, I think that was three of them. Number four, I just want to encourage you to engage the campus. And don't be one of those believers that goes through your whole year hanging out with your four friends from high school, three people that you know because of whatever y'all do together, and just totally miss the opportunity to embed yourself into the actual fabric of the campus in some activity that is not a spiritual thing. If you're in the marching band, you're already there. That's awesome. If you want to volunteer on one of the service teams, go for it. I'm sure they need volunteers to do something on your campus. Sign up. Get involved. Get into the fabric of it with purpose, because, see, that's the whole point of it, is that those of us who have light would connect into places in the campus where there isn't light, and so that we could go and serve and belong and be a part in ways that maybe someone around us could see Christ in us. I want to encourage you to, if I ask you the question, what are you doing to engage the campus with purpose? Where did you step into the campus and say, I'm going to embed myself here with purpose, just to be a light for Christ? That's what I want to encourage you to do. Very closely related to that is number five, and that's just to see the kingdom. You know, I guarantee if I came to your campus, wherever you are, Marshall University, the Thundering Herd, and I sat out in the big common area where when class was out in between classes in the morning, that tons of people started coming out of buildings, coming across from parking lots, walking across these big common areas, and you'd see people everywhere. Here's what I'd see, I guarantee you. You'd see a lot of earphones in, tons and tons and tons and tons of earphones of people, or people on their cell phones, or people walking and texting, people who've shrunk back into their world. I'm going to get back into my music because that makes me feel the way I want to feel. But here's the second thing I promise you, you'd see a ton of. You'd see a lot of people walking alone. You see a lot of people with their head down. If you don't believe me, you just start noticing on your campus a number of people walking with their head down. And I want to encourage you to walk with your head up. And I want to encourage you to walk with it up looking for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is all around you. And you don't know what God is doing on that campus right now, but I guarantee you this, He wants you to be a part of it. You're an agent of the King and of His kingdom on that campus right now. His arm is not too short to save. Don't look around and be defeated. I know there are 10,000 reasons on your campus. You could write and tell me why you should be discouraged about your campus. I get that, but I also know that God's arm is not too short to save. Salvation belongs to our God. And if you don't believe me, get the video Fruitcake and Ice Cream and watch it again. And remember that story of Krista and Ashley. And remember that in a heartbeat, God can change things and turn things around. I used to pray with a group of guys at the campus I ministered on early in the mornings, week after week, year after year after year. And some of the things we prayed for, we never saw answered. But one of the big ones that we never saw answered was not answered the whole 10 years we were there. And literally the month that we left, that Shelly and I left that campus, something changed in the administration and that prayer was answered. It was the biggest prayer we were praying, and it was answered in the most miraculous, powerful, only God could have done this way. And I wasn't the beneficiary of the answer, but I was a part of the seeds that were sown. And you may not be the one who sees your seeds of prayer bloom up around you tomorrow, but I promise you, as you're walking across that campus, you're an agent of change, and the seeds that you sow in prayer and in faith and belief for the kingdom to come will come to pass in some student's life, in some semester on that campus, somewhere down the line. Somebody's going to experience the answer to your prayers. And so I just want to encourage you in that, to see the kingdom as you look around. Don't just look for your car. Don't just follow the sidewalk to your condominium. Don't just, you know, shrink back into your iPod world. But open your eyes and look around and say, God, I know you're all around me, and I know you're working all around me. What do you want me to see right now, and how do you want me to be a part of your kingdom. And then lastly, really fast, the sixth thing, I just want to encourage you to aim. We talked about that on the podcast with my good friend Andy and his book, The Principle of the Path. But I just want to encourage you to aim. You're not going to get to randomly to the end of this semester, but you're going to get wherever your life is pointed right now. That's where you're going to end up. And so I encourage you to take a few minutes, get alone, get a big piece of paper, write in big strokes the things that you want to see God do in your life this semester, and then write underneath, ask Him for insight to write the little steps that will help you get there. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know what your big stroke is, but a lot of people have the big strokes, you know, on the mirror in the bathroom. But it's not the big strokes that really get us there. It's seeing the big stroke, but it's in asking God, what are the three or four small steps I need to be taking every day to start pointing me in the direction of this outcome for my life? And if you can do that with God and you have a clear sense of who you want to be at the end of the semester, where you want to be spiritually, academically, relationally, mentally, where you want to be in terms of your family, where you want to be in your walk with God, where you want to be in your terms of your maturity spiritually and the development of your gifts that God's put in you by the Holy Spirit. If you want to get there, then you're going to get there by taking little steps, and you're going to need to know what those are every day. And then when you're faced with opportunity, that's where your answer is going to come, because your answer is going to be, is this opportunity in line with my little steps that are leading me to the eventual outcome I believe God has for my life this semester? Or are these little steps that lead me away from that outcome? And that's going to inform you in those critical moments where decisions are made and direction is cast and your life is set. So, few simple things, but I just want you to know we're for you here. And in fact, that's what Passion's all about, is wanting to inspire you to live your life for what matters most. And I know you know about Passion 2010 coming down the road in January. It's coming really fast now. It's just 4 months away. But I want to really encourage you to be a part of the Passion 2010 Live Link. It's going to happen on Monday night, September 14th at 8:30 Eastern Time. We're going to be broadcasting live from across the street. That's better than broadcasting with the alternatives, I guess, across the street. I can see this place out my window right now. Be myself, Chris Tomlin, Christian Stanfield, some university students from the area. And we're going to be praying together, singing together, believing God together for your campus, for your life, for your world. We're going to be talking about the new Do Something Now causes for Passion 2010 so that you can see them all 4 months ahead of time and figure out which one God wants you to be a part of. We're going to talk about the registration deadlines coming up on the next night. I think it's Tuesday night, the 15th of September. But anybody can be a part of this. All you need is a computer, internet connection. You can do it alone with your friends, your flatmates, your suite mates, your whole college group, your church group, your campus ministry, whatever. But I want you to come check it out. Go to 268generation.com. Click on Passion 2010. Right on the main page, you'll see the icon for the live link. Click on it. All the details are there, as well as a little RSVP button so that you can let us know, hey, we're going to be linking with you. There are already several thousand students or people who have RSVP that they're going to be linking from, I think, somewhere around 250 locations so far in the world. And that's just a start. We really want to see that like exponentially grow in a huge way. So check it out. Mark your calendar right now. It's Monday night, September 14th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know some of you around the world are going to have to adjust, wake up in the middle of the night and that whole thing. But hey, it's college, man. You can do it. It's going to be exciting. But make sure you mark it right now. Get information on the website. Help us spread the word for it through Facebook, Twitter, whatever is going on in your world. And look forward to maybe seeing you at Louis Giglio on Twitter, especially for our Tozer Tuesday quotes. The next one coming up next week is going to be really amazing. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for joining in on the podcast. I look forward to seeing you soon. We got an interview coming with David Crowder not too far down the road, where he's going to be talking all about church music and the brand new songs coming out on his new album as well. Have a great day. God bless, and we'll see you soon on the Passion Podcast. Take care.